a testimony about Abram many, many hundreds of years later, found in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abram, even though he was past the age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. That was Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 19.
I don't know how many of you have ever been asked to go on a ride at an amusement park or something, and you didn't really want to go because you were a little fearful of what might be ahead. Or maybe it wasn't a ride. Maybe it was a haunted house, and you were a little fearful of going in because you weren't sure how scared you were going to be. What happens sometimes, though, after we are asked to do something like that, and we do it, sometimes the second time around is a little easier, isn't it? Because you kind of know what you're getting into. Or sometimes we'd never do it again because we were so scared to death. You'd never get me back on that thing again. Or I'd never go into that haunted place again because I experienced horror. I experienced fear I never knew I had. I was scared to death. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about our journeys in life, just like Abraham's journey. I'll talk a little bit about, think about it, July 4th and what surrounded July 4th, Independence Day. We look at this as a holiday and fireworks and all those kinds of things, and we kind of sanitize it somewhat because we just think, oh, it must have been all peachy and rosy and all that sort of stuff back then. Wasn't it nice to just claim independence from Britain and just go on with our lives as a new and independent country. Oh, isn't that lovely? But I guess we sometimes forget, if we don't know history, that they came at a great cost, didn't it? You know, from 1775 to 1783 was the Revolutionary War that was going on, and we claimed independence in the middle of, or actually towards the earlier part of that whole war. And yet, during that whole time and those years of fighting to be released from the bondage of being under Britain, 25,000 to 70,000 deaths, depending on where you go with this and who you listen to, died. Americans died during that time. And it really wasn't until 1783 when Britain said, okay, you're independent. We release you, the Treaty of Paris. So I say that all to say this, that just like it was a difficulty for them to be freed from what was a part of their lives so that they could have something better, I have a question for you and me this morning, and it's this. Have you ever been a pilgrim, so to speak, had to do something or go somewhere? Have you ever moved? I mean, Abraham here in the story, he had to move. Have you ever moved from one place to another? You really didn't want to move. You didn't really know what you were getting into. Verses 8 and 9, and there's other things I'll bring up here as well, but verses 8 and 9 of the text this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, we read that Abraham, when he was called to a place that he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Isn't it that way sometimes with things like you graduate from whatever, high school, college, and you go to an unknown kind of situation and some of the fear that can come with something like that. But you're trusting that what you need is what you need to do. And you're hoping, I suppose, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God, guide me, direct me to where you want me to go. That's kind of like being a pilgrim, going into the unknown. Changing jobs can be the same thing. You know, you knew what you were in before. Now you're going to something new, and that can be just like being a pilgrim. You're going from some place that you knew to some place you didn't know. You're changing your job. Or you're going from a completely different change in life, maybe losing a spouse, and now you don't know what to do. We always did things together, and now I have to do this without my spouse. That's living in a pilgrim kind of land as well. Retirement can be that way for a lot of folks too. You have no idea what you're going to do once you get into retirement. Or maybe you've been in the unfortunate circumstance of going through a divorce that you never thought would happen. And then now what do I do? I had all my life planned out with this one whom I loved, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out. There's a whole bunch of things we could bring up this morning that put us in that category of living a life, at least in part, at a certain point in time of being a pilgrim. Being in a scary situation and not knowing what the future holds. Abraham was in that boat. He left riches. He was doing well where he was at. He left his family. He left the known and took off because God said, I want you to go. You know, he didn't have the internet. He didn't have Google. He didn't have anything like that. He'd look and say, well, gee, where I'm going, I wonder what they've got there. You know, I could, maybe that's a better place to live there than it is here. He didn't have that stuff like you and I might have today where we can kind of prep ourselves for a change. He didn't. In a sense, he had to blindly follow God. And see where he's going to go. He was called to trust. You know, and it must have been that way for a lot of the early leaders in our country when they were wanting to claim independence finally. That must have been scary for them, too, because they had always been used to being under, even though they didn't like it, they knew the way it was. And to claim independence means now all this responsibility falls on us. A new country. Constitution. All these kinds of things that we're going to be a part of. Living our life in a whole new context. Abraham was called to go, and he went. He left. Perhaps in part because Abraham believed that God was someone who you could trust. Doesn't it work a lot easier if you trust the person who says go? I think so. He was called to trust. So he trusted. Verse 11 in that text. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now, if you read the whole story, it wasn't quite as clean as that. Because he had to, he was questioning God along the way because he thought, well, there's no way that this baby's going to come from Sarah. So what's some other means? Maybe it's a relative. Well, it wasn't the relative. He realize that wasn't the case. I mean, maybe it was his closest a servant person that he could claim to be the bearer of children down the road. And then maybe it was through another woman, which was not extremely uncommon in that era. And so he had a child by Sarah's maid servant. And that wasn't even the answer. Eventually, Abraham got it. God said, "No, I told you from the get-go, you're going to have a child. You and Sarah are going to have a child. And you are going to be, and the whole world is going to be blessed by this one child. You will become a great nation. All the nations around would be blessed through you." Now, I don't know how many of you ladies would think a promise like this would happen at 90 years old, let alone 50 or 60 or 70. But God answered. A child would be given. And God did it. All nations would be blessed through him, although he would probably never see it. 1776, when we declared independence, ratified it on July 4th, 1776. A lot of these folks that were a part of that back then didn't really see the full fruit of their labors in their lifetime. It wouldn't be seen to many, 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 many years later. And a lot of times you and I, as we are faithful or attempt to be faithful to God's call, sometimes we don't see the fruit of that labor, of that obedience to God, even in our lifetime. It might not come till later. But we're called to be obedient, even if it looks like the ride might be a little bit scary. Even Abraham was tested with this child that he had by a Sarah that was supposed to be the promise that was given, and now he's called to go up on top of a mountain and offer him back to God. That sounds nuts, doesn't it? You get a hint, perhaps, as he's going through this, that Abraham believes, even though this doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, that he knows God somehow, some way, because he says it will provide. When Isaac asks him, "Well, where's the sacrifice?" He says, "He's carrying the wood." Abraham somehow, some way, believed that God was going to take care of this, and he didn't know how, perhaps even bring him back from the dead, if indeed that's what he was called to do. He trusted him. As scary as that ride was, he trusted God. And as always, God provided. Not always in the way we envision that God provides for us, but God always provides. I want to get back to us looking at that story of Abraham and the Declaration of Independence. It really was a declaration of changing allegiances. Just like in this story here in Hebrews chapter 11, our citizenship as well has changed from here to the kingdom of heaven. Verses 13 through 16, if you remembered as that was being read. How firmly are we planted here? How firmly was Abraham planted in the previous country where he lived? My question is, how firmly are we planted here? Literally, would we ever consider a move? Literally, would we ever consider a change of occupations or a change of lifestyle, a change in our behavior, a change in our service for the King? Would we consider any of these things? You see, changing citizenship changes things. As U.S. citizens, you and I pledge loyalty to the United States of America. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we pledge loyalty to God. Abraham listened. And God answered. July 4th is kind of a reminder of that for us too, really, in the context of our own country. the changing of allegiances. Changing from the allegiance to a country that they didn't agree philosophically and politically with what was going on. They changed allegiances. You and I need to make sure our allegiance is to God. Not to ourselves or anyone else, but to God. And in so doing, sometimes that's scary when we're not used to doing it that way. But one thing you never need to question is God's loyalty to you. Never, ever, ever need to question that. God is loyal. God has kept every promise He ever made. And so you can be assured, rest assured as God's child, as one who loves Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that God will provide for you each and every day. In ways sometimes you don't envision, not the way you wanted it laid out, but God provides. You can take it to the bank, as they say. He gave His one and only Son to prove it. And He signed it, unlike or somewhat like those who signed the Declaration of Independence and some perhaps had to give of their own blood. God signed it in His own blood through Jesus Christ for you and for me. Don't forget that on this July 4th weekend. Sometimes the ride is scary, but knowing who's leading the way should calm the fears somewhat. God has tremendous things in store for those who trust Him completely through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for life. Thank You for seeing us as instruments of Your purposes, Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. Thank You for using us in ways that bring honor and glory and praise to You. Sometimes we willingly go and sometimes we don't because we're scared. We're afraid. It takes us out of our comfort zone. God, I pray You'd help us to realize we will find greater comfort in doing it the way You want us to do it than the outcome of doing it the way we want to do it. Remind us of that, dear God, as we spend our last few moments together in Holy Communion, remembering that our eternal life given to us came at a great cost. The One who loves us more than anyone on earth could love us, Jesus Christ our Lord. May we be eternally reminded of that in His precious name.